Hi, everybody. Anna here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Anna and Susanna Show. As many of you know, we've changed up our format a bit. Susanna and I felt called to go a bit spiritually deeper during our talks with each other, but we still wanted to laugh and make fun of things like Mariah Carey at the same time. I guess you consider our new format a Bible study that goes off the rails. Sometimes really far off the rails, so put on your seatbelt. We want you to know that we see your messages and emails, and we're so encouraged and thankful by your loving, kind words and support. If you love the show, could you do us a favor? First, subscribe to us through iTunes, and then give us a quick rating and review. If you think a friend or family member may enjoy the show or be encouraged by it, please share us with them. It's an honor to spend our Wednesdays with you. With that out of the way, buckle up, ladies and men. The Anna and Susanna Show is coming up next. A few weeks ago, during my live show, Funny Stories of My Life, on my Ha-Ha's for Hoo-Ha's Facebook page, many of you were like, "Hey Anna, what's up with your smart and sleek eyewear?" Warby Parker, people. Honestly, I love my Warby Parker glasses so much. I instantly get a fun look with zero effort, and that's the perfect amount of effort I like to put into most things. Here's what I did. I went to warbyparker.com/ASShow, that's A as in Anna, S as in Susanna, show, and ordered 5 pair of glasses. Choosing was so hard, it was nearly impossible. I got to try them on for 5 days, and there was no obligation to buy. They shipped free and came with a prepaid return shipping label. I tried on my 5 different pairs, and it instantly came down to 2. Deciding between the 2 is painful, but I finally landed on my favorite pair that I now wear all the time. Glasses start at $95, including prescription lenses. Okay, do you love that price? Lenses include anti-glare and anti-scratch coatings. If you don't need prescription glasses and just want a pair for style and fashion, perfect. Just order them without the prescription lenses. Here's the best part. For every pair you buy, a pair is distributed to someone in need. So look good and feel good about your do-gooderness at the same time. Win-win. After you head to warbyparker.com/ASShow and place your home try-on order, make sure to download the Warby Parker app from the iTunes App Store. They built this awesome home try-on companion feature, which allows you to quickly take photos wearing all the frames, stitch it into a video, and share it with friends and family to help you pick a winner. Don't decide on your own like I did. Have people help you. Come on, get serious. Go try it on today. You can thank me later. Enjoy!
Hey, baby, I know you've had a hard day. Packing lunches, folding laundry, getting the oil changed in the caravan. Or maybe you've spent 8 hours in a cubicle with that jerk boss looking over your shoulders. Settle down, pour a glass of red, kick your shoes off, and forget about your cares, baby. It's time for the Anna and Susanna Show.
Hi, everybody. This is Anna Lynn Thomas, the founder of the funny website for women, Ha-Ha's for Hoo-Ha's.
And this is Susanna B. Lewis of Whoa Susanna. Welcome to the Anna and Susanna Show.
It's the Monday after Easter.
Ooh. Hey, our neighbors are off school today.
Really?
They were off for Good Friday and today. After I dropped my kids off at school, they were outside playing in the yard at 7:50. Outside already playing. I was like, "What are you doing home today?" And he's like, "It's the Monday after Easter." I said, "Oh, okay."
Your kids are right now sitting on the school stoop at a totally, you know, the school just waiting for you to come get them.
No, they go to a private school next door.
Gotcha.
So it's different. No. I should have clarified that. They don't go to the same school.
Well, I was putting it together that they didn't, but I have to say it would be a hilarious visual if you just dropped them off to a dead, empty school.
And didn't go back once I learned that nobody, once he said, "It's somebody out," I'm like, "Oh, okay," and just went in the house.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm sure there's a custodian there to talk to or something, help them turn the lights off. Yeah.
How was your Easter? What'd you guys do?
Easter was good. Easter this year fell on my nephew's 14th birthday. Mm-hmm. So we usually go to my in-laws since my mother's passed away. Now we've been going to my in-laws for Easter, but yesterday we went to my sister's house instead to celebrate my nephew's birthday, and we just had the best time, and they have a big, beautiful house and a beautiful yard, and the kids played ball in the yard and cornhole, and We had a great meal after church, and it was just a day of relaxation. It was a beautiful day, and the sun was out. So it was just a much needed day off from just chaos and busyness.
Yeah.
You know, it was great. Great.
Go ahead. Finish. Wrap up.
I was just going to wrap up.
Yeah, right when I said wrap up, I realized how that sounded. Like, wrap it up, Susanna.
No, Anna. I just meant... Go ahead. Just go ahead.
What I meant to say was, I'm sorry, finish your point is what I meant. Because I was about to change the subject on you.
Okay. So anyway, what I was...
The moment's gone, isn't it? Like, you've just lost all steam.
I was just going to say that on my side of the family, my boy is the youngest. Mm-hmm. And so he was the only one interested in hunting eggs yesterday after church.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a bittersweet moment. All the other kids, my sister's kids are much older and, mm-hmm. you know, my daughter's older. So just, I went and hid the eggs and just he and I went and found them together. And he was like, Mama, nobody else wants to find eggs. I said, no, baby, it's just us. So that was kind of sad and sweet at the same time.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I was the baby, so I had to. But my brothers and sisters were so much older that they would usually go with me or something. But yeah, I know the feeling.
Well, I'm done. Go ahead.
Okay. Finally, you've wrapped up.
Wrapped up. Go ahead.
I have actually discovered something about myself, and a lot of people have said this about me, but I don't really believe it because I consider myself to be a really laid back, fairly casual person. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading once that I used to be a pretty heavy duty nail biter. And actually, after I had Poppy, or while I was pregnant with Poppy, I just started to get grossed out by the habit, and it was harder to bite my nails because I was taking prenatals and they were like hard as rocks. Yeah, so the habit, it just kind of lost me and it grossed me out. And so I haven't really bitten my nails since. But I did read that biting your nails, the one thing that everybody has in common who is a nail biter is perfectionism.
Oh.
And my mom has always said that I'm a perfectionist. And a lot of people like to use perfectionist like it's some kind of like compliment. It's kind of like, I'm such a perfectionist. I just, you know, and I never thought I was one. But I certainly wouldn't think it would be a compliment either because it can be super annoying. And what I've realized about myself and the more is that I really am one and it's really awful. And you can really torture other people with your perfectionism. Right. This is related to Easter, believe it or not. But this is something I've been learning about myself, and it usually has to do with stuff I really care about. So I am very laid back, but on certain things like my writing or my art, or if I'm focused on something that's important to me, then I am a perfectionist to a very bad degree, to the point where it just really sucks the joy out of things. And so
I like you telling me to wrap up.
Exactly. Like, okay Susanna, wrap it up.
I understand it now. I understand it now. Okay, I'm not mad anymore. Okay, go ahead.
As a writer, being a perfectionist can be nightmarish. And trying to do design work, it can be nightmarish. You're just constantly, it's never good enough. And it's very difficult to even enjoy when things are celebrated because you look back and it's not good enough. Do you have any perfectionist issues?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm a nail biter.
Okay, and you're a nail biter too. Okay, so my mom has really been teaching me and guiding me to let things go and to enjoy the moment. And one thing that I've been doing and that I've been ruining is that I have been trying to make holidays perfect because for the first time in my life, I have children and I have a child who is starting to become aware of things that are going on. She doesn't fully understand it yet, you know, but she's aware that something fun and exciting is happening. Because even last year, it was like, oh, cool. And then she'd walk away and, you know, go play with Saran wrap. You know, right. I don't know. But it was like, you know, not that big of a deal.
You shouldn't be letting your babies play with Saran wrap, by the way.
I know. Okay. The minute I said that, I was like, oh, Lord. Now
a true perfectionist would never let their child play with something that could suffocate them.
People are going to write in. Well, your baby can suffocate on Saran wrap, so that's a bad idea.
Don't do it.
Yeah. So anyway, Last Christmas, I didn't enjoy it at all because I worked so hard to make it perfect and for the food to be beautiful and perfect and the decorations to be beautiful and perfect.
Yeah.
And so for this Easter, and then I get obsessive or perfectionist about the way the girls are dressed, which is weird because I don't care about how I'm dressed.
Oh, yeah. Especially girls.
Yes.
I was that way with mine. I was very anal of everything had to match perfectly. We had to have the perfect smock dress for each occasion.
Yes.
Yes. I know.
So she has this beautiful Easter dress. And I was very controlling about the candy she was getting because, you know, little baby drool with a jelly bean on this gorgeous white cardigan. You know, she's only two, you know. So yeah. I was like, I was worried about chocolate and chocolatey fingers. And I was really controlling about what she was eating when and if she was in the proper, okay, here's a spring out. It was almost like a wedding, you know, when you get into that outfit for the reception. That's kind of what I was doing with her. Like, she can drool jelly bean juice and get some chocolate on this. It's fine. I can wash it out. And yeah. I started to realize she got a hold of some jelly beans and she got a little bit of smudge on her dress. And it was like it was starting to all fall apart. And I just, it was like this thing, it was kind of, it felt like it's almost a spiritual moment where something kind of clicked in my head, which was, you need to start paying attention to the beauty of this moment and really let it go.
Right.
That's what they make shout for. And I'm like, I know, but shout doesn't always work. He's like, shut up. That's not the point. And I'm like, okay. So I honestly had to learn that this time around. And I didn't overextend myself. So another thing that I've been really doing is admitting my limits. Because I'm a perfectionist, I can accomplish whatever I set my mind to, but I do so at a high cost to either myself or to the people around me, right? And so I've been learning to, I didn't take on too much. I didn't agree to make a ton of food that would be stressful and take a ton of time. And I really was more laid back and enjoyed this moment because you can just miss so much of the holidays in the kitchen, you know?
Yeah, you can.
Cleaning, washing out pots. I mean, so it was a good holiday. Lucy doesn't quite know what to do with, you know, when she went, you know, picking up eggs, she just kind of like picks them up and then dumps the basket. And then she kind of demands that we open them because she knows there's candy in there. You know what I mean? So it's kind of, she's in that phase, but it was still really fun. And
you're preaching to me this morning on that. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm always reminded of the story of, you know, Mary and Martha when Jesus came to visit and Mary's just embracing him and the time spent with him and Martha's up cleaning, you know, and Mary's washing his feet and Martha's just going. And she missed the moment of being in the presence of Jesus.
Yes.
And I have a friend who calls me Martha for that very reason, because when we have cookouts and things, I'm always worried about cleaning the kitchen or doing this. Do y'all need this? And she's like, just sit down, sit down. My mother was that way. So I inherited that. My mother was always up and, you know, tending to people. And so it's really a beautiful thing when you can just stop and just enjoy the moment.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
And I get weird about things being ruined. So I bought her a tea set, and the tea set is, it was like a Peter Rabbit tea set, but it was porcelain and I didn't realize that it was breakable in the box. And she was being really gentle with it, but being a little bit rough. And so I just was like, you know what? This was kind of pricey. This is the kind of gift that's good to bring out and do together, not have it be amongst all of her toys where she can like chuck it over her shoulder, right?
Right.
So, but she really liked it. So I had to kind of distract her to hide it. So she went outside and Rob took her outside so that I could kind of hide the toy out of sight. She's totally out of sight, out of mind kind of girl. And I couldn't find one of the spoons and I was looking everywhere for it. And I was looking in her Easter basket in the straw or the fake grass or whatever. And I was kind of digging around. I couldn't find it. And I go, well, whatever. It's just probably under the couch or something. And I started to walk into the kitchen holding the grass because I was going to store it for next year. And it fell out and it broke in half.
Oh, no.
And I can tell you the fact that that spoon is not perfect can ruin, can take 5 hours out of my day easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I realize, oh my gosh, I really actually have a problem where I can let something, because it's such a beautiful little gift set and I wanted it to be such a memory, that the fact that that broke, and I'm, you know, I was like, Anna, I've really been working on this part of my personality where it's just like, you know what? It broke. You can easily glue it together. And if there's only one spoon, holy crap, there are a lot worse things happening in the world. Let it go.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's just been one area of my life where I've just really had to go with the flow, is what I think is probably good with parenting, especially at this time, especially if you're kind of a controlling person like me, trying to rally two people who cannot really be controlled. They can be disciplined, but they cannot be controlled, you know?
Yeah.
So that's been that's been my lesson.
Well, you know, a really wise woman once told me, live, learn, and then get loves. doesn't that apply to this? It does. Your
it
perfection.
Does.
Got to have the organic, honest Pampers or whatever. And then, hey, it's just diapers.
It's just diapers.
Enjoy the moment. Strap a loves on that butt.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Move on. Move forward.
On. Amen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So last. Oh, okay. So I've got to share a funny story that happened to us at the Easter table. We're at my sister's house, and my oldest niece is pregnant, and she was sitting next to me at the table. Across the table was my nephew, his girlfriend, my mom, and my dad, and I was making fun of my sister from when she was 9 months pregnant, wearing 4-inch tall wedge cheap foam flip-flops. I guess that was all the rage.
okay.
They kind of looked like crack prostitute.
Uh-huh.
Do you know the look I'm saying?
They're prostitute
like
laundry. Yeah,
kind of like cracky prostitute foamy flip-flops. I don't know what she was doing.
Logo. Yeah.
I don't know what she was doing at 9 months pregnant wearing them, but that's what she was doing. Mm-hmm. And she fell, skinned her knees, and had a huge beach bag. We were walking our way into the mall, had a huge beach bag, and it like threw over her shoulder. All of her stuff was falling out because her purse was huge. And I was so like embarrassed and laughing so hard that I walked away from her. And I was joking that we were just sharing the story that all of these Good Samaritans had to come by and help her because I got the hell out of there. I was so embarrassed. So we're telling this story, and I'm imitating my sister and this man trying to pick her up by her armpits. My sister's like, thank you, sir. And right when I said that, my niece spit out her tea, which is like in the movies spray.
Yeah.
And it covered my nephew's girlfriend. She was drenched, and the look on her face was like she was witnessing a violent crime. You know, it was like shock, horror. You can't move because your brain is trying to process what just happened to you. Drenched. Her face was dripping off of her face. That's how much of the spit up tea was all over her.
Bless her heart. Is she a new girlfriend or has she been around for a while?
She's been around for a while. So that one
was a new
girlfriend would be really mortified, I think. So
Yeah.
Whoo. But she still didn't know what to do. She just stood there frozen. And we've got a little bit of it on Snapchat. My littler niece got a little bit of it on Snapchat, and it's pretty classic. So
I love a good spit take. It's the best, isn't it? It's the best.
I thought that only really happened like that in the movies.
No, I've done that before.
Have you sprayed somebody before?
No, I didn't spray anybody, but it was our last Thanksgiving with my mama, and she was saying something hilarious, and it was tea, and I was sitting at her table, and it just went, psh, it was a classic movie spit take.
Yes.
And no, I happened to turn my head to the right, and it went all over like her china cabinet and everything. But then everybody else started laughing. You know, when you do that, then everybody laughs at that. So you're laughing at two different things at once, and it's just the best feeling.
We were screaming. I mean, that is one way to work off the dessert. We were screaming because she was so drenched. And it was like, how I can't believe that happens in real life. The closest I've done that too, but you're right. It was kind of in my hand, you know, yeah. It was kind of like I contained it.
Yeah.
The only thing I've ever done is I've bitten to a real juicy tomato and sprayed my friend in the face at a restaurant. I've done that before.
That's great.
And yeah. She screamed like she was getting hit with shrapnel. So yeah. That was a good moment. Those are always the best.
I'll tell you, I remember one time riding around at about 18. Well, no, I just graduated high school, and my friend and I were riding around drinking wine coolers. And I know this is a Bible Christian show. Jesus saves. And so we were riding around and listening to something, and I was telling something, and she was one of those friends that made you feel so, like she genuinely thought I was the funniest person mm-hmm, on earth. Like mm-hmm. She always, I knew I could tell her something and she would get it and she would laugh.
Oh, I have friends like that, and they are the best.
They are the best. Yes. And I was doing something, I can't even remember, and she was laughing so hard. And I remember she spit out onto the dashboard. And so that was funny enough. And so then we kind of got quiet for a few minutes, and she looked at me and she said, Susanna, I was driving. She said, Susanna, I've peed in your seat. I said, what? She said, when I spit, I peed at the same time. So I peed in your seat. I was like, oh gosh, great. So we were at the car wash, you know, scrubbing out pee from this, but that's the best. If you yes. can't pee from laughing once in a while, I mean, what's the point, right?
Oh yeah, that's the every yeah. I mean, gosh, those are that makes life worth living right there.
It does. The uncontrollable, eye watering pee, spit, take, laughter is the best.
Yes, yes, the best. Yes, yes, yes. So anyway, now I'm just trying to get junk out of my house and candy out of my house. And I thought I was done. Do you make hot cross buns, or have you ever had one, or do you make
no,
them?
No, we talked about that last week.
Oh, yeah, that's
we
right.
We don't do that.
So no. I made them on Friday. They've been in my house since Friday. And I thought yesterday I was done with them. And turns out the hot cross buns weren't done with me because I cannot. Oh, Susanna, they're so good. They're so good. So today I've told myself, okay, I'm done with the junk. Got to detox a little bit from the processed junk. And I'm back in the saddle. So,
oh, I ate so much yesterday, and I didn't even bother. We had a softball tournament Saturday, so I was like, I'm not even going to cook. And so I had a local business, a friend of mine here, catered our lunch, and I just took it down to my sister's. Oh, it was delicious. Home cooked, real food. And so we had a huge plate of that, and it was great. But then we also had my nephew's birthday, and so my sister had gotten him a cake from Costco, and it's huge, you know, huge, but it was so good. And it had some kind of mousse in the middle of it, some kind of fluffy chocolate. And I had a piece of that after I ate lunch, and a scoop of chocolate ice cream. And then I went outside and played for a little while, like a kid. I went out and played for a little bit. And then I came in and I got another piece because my sugar high had worn off.
Yeah, exactly.
So I had two huge slices of cake yesterday. And then when I got home, my pajama pants were tight.
That's the worst. It is the worst.
I was like, look, when your pajamas don't fit, there's an issue.
There's an issue. Okay? You are retaining some water, and I've been there.
I
woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning because I thought I heard Bruno throwing up, and I ran downstairs, and then I walked across. My blood sugar was low. I was pretty hungry because I was being disciplined to stop eating after dinner, because I was like, you're eating too much junk. Stop at 6.
Yeah.
And I ate a hot cross bun at 3 a.m. I woke up. I had Michelin man hands. You can't do that. You just, at my age, I just can't do it. It took me until 2 p.m. to put my wedding ring back on. I was like, I can't do it. What, Anna, you've lost your mind, you know? Night eating, like I'm like in an Ambien haze.
Yeah. Walking around stoned, just eating things.
Yeah.
Talking to the toaster. Yeah, I've been there. Yeah.
I took the time to heat it up, too. I gave it like a 5-second nuke just to get it nice and warm. Who's got the time at 3 a.m.?
Oh, man. I started getting hungry at midnight, and I just said, I got to go to sleep or I'm going to eat. Mm-hmm. And so I just forced myself to go to sleep. But gosh, I was hungry when I woke up this morning.
See, that's what happened to me. And that's why the 3 o'clock thing got me real screwed up, because I was on fire. And I was like, oh God, I was like, walk away, walk away. And I was telling myself, don't do it, don't do it. As it was going into my mouth. So whatever.
Well, unless it was just a hot cross bun. I wake up at 3 a.m. and go fix a plate. You're just having a little dessert, a little nibble here and there. I got like a full noon on Thanksgiving plate going.
Little scalloped potato, a little bit, some southern baked beans, a little ham. Oh,
Heck yeah. Fixing a plate.
Yep.
Girl.
Oh, man. So, okay. Our talk was about forgiveness last week.
Mm-hmm.
And
it ain't easy.
No, it's not easy. Because and you always got to be careful about what you want to improve on too, because it's like, it really shows up. And, you know, I don't want to say like, you know, they always say, don't pray for patience, you know what I mean? Because then it's like, you're just tested constantly.
Yeah.
And I feel like when I prayed for and have been working on my perfectionism, I'm just getting like tested, you know, like Lord, help me just with my perfectionism. I know that that's coming from my sin nature. And then as I'm saying that, a big dollop of mustard lands on my white shirt, you know, and I'm like out in public and can't change.
I know.
You know, that's how it goes for me.
But you know what? I just thought, you know, for us, for perfectionists, the whole forgiveness thing applies to ourselves too, doesn't it? We have to forgive ourselves.
That's true. That's really true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And nothing's even good enough, because right now, tomorrow, my agent is shopping my book and I can barely even feel it, because there's just a part of me that thinks something could be better, or, you know, and it's just amazing how much we can ruin the moment. But anyway, So we had last week about forgiveness, and thankfully I wasn't tested too much. If anything, my family was tested by me.
I gotta forgive Anna, you guys.
I'm learning about forgiveness, everybody. You need to forgive me.
What about your nephew's girlfriend? How did she practice her forgiveness yesterday?
The way she dabbed her face, it was like she just calmly took her napkin and just dabbed her face while the whole family was screaming. I mean, we were screaming laughing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she practiced it her own self.
Good. She's a keeper.
Yeah.
Good.
So, you know, my husband, even he was like, the other day, he was like, why do you always try and boss me around? And I was like, because you don't do what I want you to do. Duh. Yeah. What other reason would I have?
Right.
To boss you around. So he had to forgive me because I was real bossy last week. Just trying to control everybody for Easter, you know.
Yeah.
Get her out of her dress. Don't give her jelly beans in the dress, you know, blah, blah, blah.
I know. So, I'm so hard to live with. I'm hard to live with. And that's the one thing, too, that the Lord works on me about a lot, is quit being so hard to live with. Mm. Quit being such a nag. Nobody wants a nagging woman.
I made an e-card a while ago that always does well whenever I do it, which is like, I wouldn't have to nag if you just listened to me the first time.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
really, though, I mean, you're just, you can just be the worst to be around. You know, just you're just hard to live with.
You can. Mm-hmm. Do you ever get tired of hearing your own voice?
Yes.
Like sometimes I'll yell at the kids and I'm like, that just got on my nerves. I know it got on theirs.
Yes.
Like if I was my kid, I would be rolling my eyes and just saying, shut up, mama. Shut up. You know?
Yes.
So I can't even get mad. When the day comes that she rolls her eyes and just says, mama, please just shut up, I'm going to be like, okay, you're right.
Yesterday, My husband has size 15 feet. Okay, he's a big, tall man. He has size 15 feet. All of us trip over his feet regularly. Uh-huh. And I trip over his shoes. So his shoes were in front of the pantry because the pantry is near the garage. He took them off. It was as if two canoes were in my entryway.
Yeah.
And I tripped as I was cooking. I tripped two times falling into the pantry and having to grab onto a shelf. I cursed his name. I cursed the day he was born. I cursed everything about him, up and down, all around. As I was like, oh my God, put your shoes somewhere because I have tripped over him. And then Lucy trips over him a million times, trips over his feet. And she trips over his feet so much that I get mad at him. Like,
yeah,
do something about your feet. And he's like what? I'm like, I almost think you enjoy it watching her, because yesterday she fell over his foot and then her face landed on his other foot and she bit the inside of her mouth and her mouth was bleeding. And I got mad at him. Like, instead of being like, oh, honey, you got an accident, I acted like it was his fault. And after I kept going on and on over something as ludicrous as, because I was like, I swear, Rob, you just don't, like, you could help move your feet out of our way. He's like, oh my gosh, I'm sitting here on a chair. I like, what do you want me to do? Like, put them inside myself? I mean, what do you want from me? You know? And I was like, I swear you get some kind of enjoyment out of it, because whenever somebody trips, you've got a little smirk on your face. And I just kept going and going and going. And I could tell he just wasn't listening anymore. And then I was like, oh gosh, I am so annoying. Shut up about it. So I've been there.
Oh, like he's using his feet for evil.
yes, to curse the family.
It's so funny that you say that, because I've been the same. My husband has huge feet too, not 15s, he's in 13s, and
still hard to buy in a store though.
And I remember the kids used to trip over his feet when they were toddling around, and I would get so mad at him. I just thought I was the only person that got angry with my husband's feet, but I did. I remember that. I remember him sitting on the couch. I was like, "Make it fake."
She'll just like,
they're hurting people.
She just slams down. She's just toddling and then just slam. And I'm like, "Let me guess, your freaking foot." You know, like, oh, I know. After I'm controlling him, telling him this and that, then I go into the kitchen, trip over his boat Nike shoe. Shaquille O'Neal edition.
Have to order from East Bay.
Have to order it from East Bay. Exactly. It's not even Nike. It's like Nikel discount, because Nike won't even go up that high. Falling into my pantry, hating his guts.
We don't care that size of Foot Locker. We're gonna have to get on a website.
You have to get on a website. Oh man. Oh, so
bless.
I needed some forgiveness for that attitude this week. But so forgiveness is just so important. And like we talked about it last week, it's just so that we can enjoy the rest of the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm really fortunate because both my husband and I are not grudge holders. So if we can even get, we've gotten into some knockout drag out fights and we really can't stay mad for more than an hour. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel that, you know, there are some people who can really hold a grudge, and I've had friends and I've been in relationships where they'll withhold their love from you for a week or more over
time.
Small slight. Is that you if you get into a fight with somebody?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not as bad as it used to be, but yeah, I would give Jason the silent treatment for a week. For a week. And it was a miserable time. And honestly, when I would get so, I'd be like, this isn't the way to live. You know, this isn't right. And when I would forgive him and we would talk, it would just be such an incredible relief that finally we're back to normal again. But yeah, I could hold a grudge, man. I'm a great grudge holder. He's not. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like to hold a grudge. He likes to resolve things immediately. But I'm like, shoot, I'll talk to you Thursday.
Well, Rob makes it hard because we'll get into a fight and then he'll just like grab me by the shoulders and be try to be funny. And he's like, I can't take it anymore. Woman, talk to me. Love me, you know. And it doesn't matter how mad he made me. That works every time. I mean, I'll like make him work for it. Like, no, you really made me mad this time. Mm-mm. But that does help, because you lose a joy. You lose so much joy in your life when you can't, you know, let go of stuff, especially stuff that's not that important, you know.
That's a big lesson that I've learned, and I'm not as quite as bad that I used to be. I mean, now, I won't speak for a little while, but it's no longer a week. Really, I could go a week, and it was a miserable way. And the Lord just showed me, this isn't right. This is stupid, and you're doing it to yourself. You don't even remember what the argument was about.
I know that's the worst. That is
You
the worst,
know,
yeah.
you try to remember, you're like, now, why have I not spoken to him since Tuesday? I don't know,
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, Rob and I got in a doozy once, and then he left, and then he came back, and something funny happened. I was like, babe, you're never going to forget what happened. Wait a minute, I'm mad at you. Apologize, and then I'll tell you this really funny story. He's like, no, you apologize. I was like, fine, I'm sorry. Listen, I just can't. I just get too happy about life sometimes. But yeah, it is hard to. I could not forgive someone I don't care about, probably. Like, if I don't have to see them or call them, I could really ice somebody out. Listen, I'm not that great. But if it's somebody I've got to be around a lot, I'm like, can we just move past this? Because life, I got to tell you a funny story, and I don't want to wait.
This one's worth us making up. I need to tell you.
Yeah, this is a good one. So this week, tell us the verse. Let me just read last week's verse. I should have done that already, but so it was Ephesians 4:31-32, which is get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Susanna, this one, put this one in your pocket the next time you want to ice out your husband. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So
Amen.
let's talk about the verse you have for us this week, and we will dive right into it after this quick commercial break. I am so excited about this and super annoyed they didn't have anything like this when I started my period. While on vacation with my friend and her dad. But that's a story for another podcast. I want to talk to you about First Period Kit by Lola. This kit is cute and fun. A young woman who receives this box is going to have a hard time concealing her excitement, no matter how bad her cramps are. Believe me. Be 100% ready with everything your daughter needs and needs to know about getting her first period with Lola's First Period Kit. The kit includes an assortment of products in order to find out what works best for her. Get total peace of mind about the products your daughter is using by starting her on natural products from her very first period. With Lola, there are no mystery ingredients or confusion about what is in your feminine care products. The First Period Kit contains a mix of day pads, night pads, liners, and light tampons, and comes with a pouch for storing products and stickers to mark your cycle in her calendar. All 100% organic cotton, BPA free. Also included, a $5 Lola credit to use toward a monthly Lola delivery once she's figured out which products work for her. She doesn't have to go into Walgreens and be awkward. Just get it delivered to her door. Bada boom, bada bing. I have two daughters, so this kit hits me right in the feels. I know I was super emotional when I started because I was the baby of the family and wanted to stay the baby forever. This kit helps open a dialogue between us to help her prepare for this big milestone in a fun and interactive way that I wish I had when I was a girl. Go order yours right now for $10 off your first Lola purchase, first period kit, or subscription. Visit mylola.com and enter AS Show. That's A as in Anna, S as in Susanna, show at checkout. Again, for $10 off your first Lola purchase, first period kit, or subscription, visit mylola.com and enter AS show at checkout. Okay, so what's the verse we're going to focus on this week?
Okay, this week we've got James 5, verse 16. It says, NIV says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I think that's just a great one for how, we were talking before the show, how people, when things are going great and, everything's swimmingly, I think we can get lax in our prayer life, but when we're struggling, we turn to prayer, but we forget that prayer is such an effective tool that we
Yes.
need to use daily, even when things are going great, to pray off things in the future.
Yes.
And especially our children. That's what I had kind of been meditating on this verse over the last week, talking with some friends in a prayer group and some things about how, how our children are under such attack. from so many different ways. You know, it's not like when we were in school, Anna, and, you know, things were bad enough then and hard enough then, and I was bullied, and we've talked about crappy friends and this and that. But our kids today are just being attacked on so many levels, especially with social media.
Yes.
Social media can just rip these kids apart, rip their self-esteem apart, and just give them no hope. And so we have got, as parents, to step up and pray for our kids' mental health, not just for their physical health, but their spiritual health, their mental health, and that, you know, they will know who they are in Christ and not rely on who the world and who social media says they are.
Yes. Absolutely. I agree. You know, I've been hearing this by a lot of spiritual leaders who have said that they have never in their lifetime been around or seen so many people in sorrow, despair, fear, and with so much anxiety.
Yeah.
And I was, and I'm not to belittle things, but the there's a lot of bad things going on in the world. There's a lot of fear of Trump and what Trump's going to do. I mean, people have real, genuine fear of this man, as if he's going to ruin their life or ruin the life of others. And there is real fear about things that are happening in Syria and that wars are going to be starting and that there's a Cold War coming back with Russia and North Korea. I mean, people, there's just anxiety and fear and angst. I mean, I have friends who are still crying over the election. I mean, they're real, they're still squeezing out real tears. And I don't mean to make light of that. But I was thinking about that, and I thought to myself, not to belittle it, but if people are, and I would read the comments because I'd see spiritual leaders talking about this, and they were saying that to then provide hope, especially with the Easter message. And then in the comments, people were confirming, I've never lived in such a horrible time, or I've seen so much this or that. And I just thought to myself, this person is an older woman. She's lived a lot. She lived through Vietnam. So the only thing I could think of is anybody who thinks that doesn't have a good grasp of history.
Right.
If they think that the world we're in now is that horrific. The only thing, I mean, could you imagine living in the Turkish Empire when that thing was, could you imagine being, having the Vikings come in and take, rape and pillage, being, black in the '50s. I mean, there's throughout history, there has just been a lot of pain and suffering. And so to feel like this is the worst time ever is just forgetting your history. So then I thought, well, then what's the difference? And the difference is that social media creates fear and anxiety where there doesn't really necessarily need to be any, or it amplifies it. It takes a seedling, something that is something to be feared, and then makes it and blows it up until it envelopes our thoughts and our minds and our fears and all of those things. And so
sure it does. Absolutely.
So if that's happening to grown adults, you can only imagine what it does to our children, especially if they're being bullied on it, you know? And so it is this weird thing of like what to do with social media. It's kind of like, you know, I remember someone asked if would you have invented the car if you knew that the car was going to kill millions of people a year? You know, would you still? And it's like, well, yeah, because the car has also saved millions of people's lives, you know? So it kind of makes you think about the social media. Is the social media better for us, or is it way, way worse? It's hard to know. So what is required of us, you know, and I've just been kind of stewing on this, is that what's really required for us is daily prayer, checking in with God, and putting our trust and hope in Him and not the latest scary headline from CNN, you know?
You know, every day it's like we're going into battle in some form or another. You know, if we're in a car, that could be a battle. You could have a drunk driver You know, everything, there's a risk. And the same thing with social media. These kids are going into battle every day on social media. And we, as their parents, have got to equip them with the proper weapon to fight this battle and the proper weapon to get them through anything in life is knowing and meditating on what God's promises are.
Yep.
And the word of God. And so when we start out our children knowing who they are in Christ and knowing that, you know, that whatever weapon forms against them will not prosper, then they have the tools that they need to successfully win the battle. And the thing is that so many of these kids have no hope and are not taught, not it doesn't have to be by their parents or, you know, a spiritual leader, a church, a teacher, whoever, a mentor, a coach. They're not being taught that there's so much more to this life than what other people say about them
Yes.
on social media or in a hallway. And so that's what I'd really been thinking on. And James says, and also that scripture not only says, you know, the prayer is powerful and effective, but also that we should confess our sins and our burdens and what's worrying us, what other people are doing to us, to each other and pray for each other. Mm. Because, you know, the Bible says where two or more are gathered in his name, surely he is there with us. And so there's just something so powerful about a group of people coming together and summoning Christ into the midst of it and lifting up our cares and our burdens to him and telling him that we're desperate, we need help. And for us as parents, you know, kids are not going to do that on their own. They have to be nudged to do that. And we have to teach them to do that. And we have to do that for them.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. What are some of your favorite verses for your children that you like to pray over them?
Well, I'll tell you, I've got The Power of a Praying Parent, which is a wonderful book if you haven't read it. And I got it years and years ago. I don't even know how I was turned on to this book, but I got it years ago, and it covers everything. You know, you read it daily. It covers everything for, you know, protection and love and maintaining good family relationships, following truth, enjoying a life of health, et cetera, et cetera. But it has, you know, these different prayers you pray over your children and different scriptures that relate to that. But one of my favorite prayer of all time, we actually, you know, we're building our house, and I actually had this carved into our foundation, and I have this written and placed under my children's mattresses as well, is from Psalm 91. It says, "He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday." So that is pretty much praying for protection over our children and praying away what we were just talking about, praying away that fear. Ugh. Because fear can be crippling, and fear is just a tool of the enemy to bog us down.
You
That's
know,
all it is.
I was writing in my prayer journal this morning, and I wish I would have had access to that verse, because I would have written it down for myself. Because I wrote down another verse for fear, but that one really spoke to me, because I think that this is pretty common, but I am so happy right now. I am so happy in our home. My children are precious and funny and gorgeous and juicy. They're just
yeah.
delicious. I mean, they're just
juicy.
I'm in love with my husband. I am happy. And I live with this underlying fear constantly
yeah.
that something's
yeah.
going to happen to them.
Yep.
I don't even care
yep.
if something happens to me or the house
sure.
or anything. It's almost like you can't feel this much joy, because then there's something to lose. It is just this
yes.
horrible underlying thing that
yes.
steals your joy away. Just even that I was reading to Lucy, one of the books I got her for Easter, and as I turned over the page, she goes, "Oh, cool." And it was so precious that I started to tear up. And it was not because of, it was like this instant flash of I could lose her. and I started to tear up. I mean, I'm a mess, and I know that this is very common with it your is. Children. It just gets worse and worse when they're 16 and you hand them keys to a car. I mean, it's just torture. Mm-hmm. And I need a verse like that for my own heart and my own peace, and then to be able to pray that over them as they get older and start to experience fears and the boogeymen and then real boogeymen, and you know, because there's a lot of and I have to tell you, one thing that's not helping is that in one day, this is what Facebook does, in one day in my feed, so, because people are interacting or sharing it, I saw a NFL football player accidentally rolled over his 3-year-old in their driveway. So that that took a piece of my life away. Yep. Then you get an image of a dead Syrian children. That takes a part of my life away. Mm-hmm. Then you get someone put a woman at a daycare, a learning center, was physically abusing a child. That took about 8 years of my life. I mean, it was like I was getting assaulted down. And it's not that I want to be ignorant of things that are happening to other people. It's not that. It's that we are exposed to the terrors of this world in a way that no one ever was.
That's right. Yep.
I would have never have known any of those things were happening if I hadn't got online on social media.
Yeah.
And like I said, I don't want to be ignorant of it. I want to be able to pray for people who are suffering and refugees and things that are happening in this world. I want to be knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. But you almost have to wonder if we have not evolved as a species fast enough as technology has, and that our brains cannot keep up with all of the things, all of the terrors of the day. And it just it's now more than ever, there has to be a discipline of mind for all of us just to get through the anxieties and all of the things that are happening. A discipline of mind to stay focused and to pray and to put our fears and our worries, you know, at the feet of God, you know, pretty much daily in a way that, you know, even our parents really didn't have to do. I mean, our parents drove around with us in their laps in the front seat.
Yeah.
They weren't that worried.
That's right. I know. Oh, I think that all the time. Sometimes I have to get, that's why, you know, several times since we've known each other, I've had to take a Facebook break. And that's the reason why. Because I'm just bombarded with what ifs and, you know, this and that. And I'll tell you, I've had a lot of fears because, you know, my dad died when I was 11.
Right.
And I was home alone with him when he died. And up to that point, I had a really secure, happy life. And didn't realize that, you know, parents can just be taken from you that quickly out of nowhere, you know, healthy and young. And so when that happened, that's when a spirit of fear and anxiety was kind of started to take root in me. But like we said, our verse that we did a few weeks ago, that God, 2 Timothy, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind.
Right.
But I believe that was the age when I was vulnerable, and that's when the enemy started to kind of place that seed within me of fear. And so since then, I've always had anxiety and worry. And, you know, even last year, year before last, when I released 10 Years Taken and things were going great, everything was good, kind of like that feeling you said before, that I'm happy and everything is wonderful. And that's when suddenly my mom died. Just, you know, no warning. And again, I was taken back to that, you know, when things are going good, you have to fear that something bad's going to happen.
Right.
And so the enemy definitely does that to bog us down and to press us down and to make us vulnerable and to keep us from rising up and living in faith and living in victory. So it's such a common thing, but that spirit that we have is not put there by God. And so I'm learning that soon as I have a thought enter my mind that I know is not of God, a thought that has been placed within me merely solely for the fact to rob me of my joy. That's the only reason it's put there. Yeah. It has no evidence. It's, you know, fear that is false evidence appearing real. It has, you know, no basis that that's going to happen. It's put there simply to steal my joy.
Yeah.
And we are instructed to cast down all lofty things in the name of Jesus right then, and claim right then out loud if we have to, that this thought is not from the Lord, and I rebuke this from my mind right now, remove it. And to, you know, immediately and purposely set our minds on, like the Bible says in Philippians, things that are noble, good, and lovely. Mm-hmm. Because once we start accepting that crap into our head, it will become relentless. And yes. that's when people, because I've been there before, that's when I've had bouts of depression where my mind was nothing but tormenting, negative thoughts. And it was because I allowed it to keep happening and I didn't pray it away right then.
Right. Right.
And another verse that I think of a lot, which I actually happen to have open, which I didn't even know I had it open, but it's 1 John 4:18 that says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Yeah. And it does. Mm-hmm. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So we have to replace those fears and that torment with love immediately to keep it from growing and getting bigger and becoming relentless.
Yes.
Because that's a horrible feeling. If you've ever, you know, and we've talked too about you know, what you think about what you think about.
Yeah.
If you sit around and dwell on something and don't pray it away and pray for it, like our verse today in James says, how prayer is effective. If we don't pray for that to go away, it does. It becomes worse the more we think about it.
Yes, absolutely. I was thinking about what you were, when you were saying that, you know, when your dad died at home.
Yeah.
It was like,
that's my home.
That is something, that was something that happened to other people, and it became a realization that that mm-hmm. can happen to you.
Yeah.
And then with your mom passing so unexpectedly, it was like, that means mm-hmm. anybody can pass suddenly.
Sure. Sure.
And so it becomes something that can actually happen to you, when in many times it's a denial, you know? Mm-hmm. And it kind of had me thinking, and this is on a much, much smaller scale, that when I had my ectopic pregnancy, only 2% of pregnant women ends in ectopic. And there was like an illustration of it. You know, I remember running the stats in my head, and I'm totally making it up now because I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was like one person out of 1,000, or it was something like that, would get an ectopic. And I thought about being pregnant, and I'm in a room with 1,000 other women, and someone makes an announcement over a loudspeaker, one of your pregnancies is going to end in an ectopic, is going to be ectopic. And you're just like, oh God, out of all of these women, it's not going to be me. And it was like someone grabbed my hand and said, it's you. And when that happens to you, when you fit into this small percentage of people, mm-hmm. which is what I'm sure a lot of people experience when they have some kind of trauma in their life or loss, you realize it can happen to me. And then things get framed. You know, I have been in the 1% or the 2% before, where you think it's not going to happen to you, that has actually happened to me. And then you can just really live in fear from that moment on. And it can steal so much joy away. It stole the first half. My miscarriage stole the first half of my excitement during my pregnancies. I didn't get really excited or even feel connected until I was about 6 months along.
Yeah.
So it's amazing how that can, how those moments can continue to haunt us if we don't pray it away and get it out of our minds and give it to God and let those things experience the joy. It's a must. We have to do it. We just live in a time today where we just cannot afford to be afraid and to have anxiety and to let our minds run amok and not continually vigilantly pray the power of God into our lives and over our children, over ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it were, and like our verse says today, it's effective. It really, mm-hmm. prayer really is effective. I had, you know, I've talked a little about the anxiety issues that I've been having as of late, and it's just, a accumulation of things. It's just stress and just being overtired and busy and overwhelmed. And two, a lot of it with Mama's death, I think, is coming back. And I don't want to get into all that. But the other night, I felt a lot of anxiety for no reason. I felt a lot of anxiety just coming on out of nowhere. Just out of nowhere for no reason. I was safe. Everything was fine. I was with my family. But I just started feeling kind of off. Mm-hmm. And I think a big problem with fear is you fear the fear.
Yeah.
And when if you've had an anxiety attack or a panic attack, you fear that's going to happen. So if it hasn't already hit and it isn't full blown, you fear it's going to be, you know, mm-hmm. and you're going to lose control. And I just started saying over and over in my head, Jesus did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and sound mind. I said that over in my head, I swear to you, at least 300 times, just over and over and over until it just was gone. And I know that it was that effective prayer and knowing the word and using that as a weapon to combat this thing straight from the enemy, that that was the only thing that got me through that. Because if I had sat there and dwelled on it and said, oh, Lord, here comes a panic attack, I'm going to be feeling terrible, you know, my heart's going to start pounding, I'm not going to be able to do this, we have to be here, and I can't let this happen. If I had done that, it would have been a full-blown anxiety attack. Mm-hmm. But just to combat it with that fear, and, you know, that, I think, is the point of the verse today, is our children need to know that they can combat things with prayer.
Yes.
And that we can combat things on their behalf. We need to be covering our children in the promises of God and in the protection of God and declaring outright that, you know, my child is going to live a long, healthy life, and already start praying for our children's spouses, our children's children, already declaring the good things our children are going to do, praying off generational things. I know that I have alcoholism that stretches back many generations in my family, and I have already prayed that off of my children, and it is just our duty to start covering our children in the promises and the goodness of prayer. That's what we have to do. And then when the enemy comes, he'll just pass right over him and say, nope, that kid's covered, I can't do anything to him or her, I can't touch her, I can't do that. And that's what we have to do as parents.
One thing that has stopped me in the past with having that confidence over prayer is not having prayers answered.
Yes. Yep. I know that too. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so then it makes you like, well, what's the point? Cause it's not going to fix anything. And I remember getting that feeling. My relationship with God was pretty childlike until I had my miscarriages, because I hadn't experienced at that point. It was like the world was my oyster. I mean, we had some hard times, and a lot, and some of my close family members went through some difficult things, but nothing had really happened to me. And when I remember just praying, God, I pray that this isn't, you know, this isn't a miscarriage. And then it is, and it's that way three times in a row. Then you're like, what is the point of even praying if he's not going to answer that particular prayer? Which is completely the wrong way to look at God and how prayer works in our lives. That doesn't mean, oh, I get in the weeds when I try to explain this. You know, it's like the truth is in my heart, but I don't have the words for it. You know what I mean, though, right? Where it's like,
I do,
Because you've experienced that yourself, and especially with infertility, is how, because I'm sure there are people who are thinking that, but what if God doesn't answer my prayer and then I lose confidence in his ability to answer my prayer? How do we answer that?
That's faith. Faith is not seen. And that's when your faith, when our prayers are not answered, that's when our faith grows so enormously. Me not having another baby yet after 5 years of begging God for a baby. I have in moments of weakness in my flesh and sin nature been resentful of God for that, and thought exactly what you're just saying. Well, you know, why hasn't God given me a baby? Why did God allow me to be home when my dad died? I could have been anywhere. I could have been at church that day, but I was sick at home alone with him when he died. Why did God, you know, allow my mama to die? And why, God, do you allow this? Why did God allow me to have a miscarriage? You know, why I've prayed these things off and they still happen. But once, and I kind of get in the weeds explaining it too, because once you have that intimate relationship and your faith is secure, you
Yes.
quit asking why, and you remember the promise that the Lord works all things together for good for those who love him. So even when you're praying these prayers, but God also says, ask and it'll be given to you. And I believe that when we go to the throne confidently and boldly, that he does answer those prayers. I know that, my mother had a health scare a few years ago, and when she died, she was extremely, I mean, it was a shock because she was healthy, but she had been put on some medication for blood pressure about 5 or 6 years ago, and it had a really bad adverse effect on her. And I thought she was going to die in that hospital. And I remember just being so overwhelmed with grief at the thought of losing her that I boldly and confidently went to God and said, God, do not take her yet. Do you have to perform a miracle here? And miraculously, she was healed. I mean, there was a lot to go into that that I'm not going to get into, but it was a miracle that my mother did not die in that hospital, and I still got 5 or 6 years left more with her. So I know the power of prayer, and I know that he confidently, he's gonna, he already knows the future. He already knows the future of our children, but he does expect us to come to him and ask him for certain things. And he is in the business of answering prayer. As long as it aligns with his will, it'll be answered.
The relationship part pretty much hits it right on the head. It's a knowing, and it's a
It's
no,
annoying.
and it's a realizing of what, because we're so focused on this time on earth and this short time and this window and the things that we can lose, and our concept of when God looks at our life and where we're going and our purpose and heaven, and that this is just a drop in a bucket, then it changes. It's so difficult for us to see the whole picture of what God is doing. But how beautiful it is that He, in certain situations, will intercede on our behalf. But the one thing He will promise, because we're all, this world is, there is going to be suffering, is that He will give us peace, and that He is here, and that there is something to be learned from it, and that there is love and joy at the other end of it, and that truly miracles happen on the other side if we can just trust Him enough to ride on through it. And we can cloak our children and ourselves with the protection of God. And that is something that is just really beautiful and really comforting. It's
It
that
is.
we can wake up every morning. And so, it can be fun to do. I was this is such a stupid complaint, but I just remember complaining that I honestly, the minute I wake up with the girls, I'm so tired that I wake up at the sound of my girls. And so I'm like, well, when do I even have time to really pray? For them, it's like I can barely even get out the prayers I have. I have so much to pray for, myself, my book, my friends, my children. And so a really wonderful way to do it, and something that I know that you have been practicing, is writing our favorite prayers down on a card. You could put it into your cell phone, whatever kind of technology is best. If you're dealing with a lot of anxiety or fear, you can put these little index cards in your back pocket. And that's one thing about why it's so important to learn the word. I honestly, my whole life, I've known how important it is for me to memorize verses, and I just suck
I
at
know.
it. I
I
just
do
suck
too.
at
I do too. I've been reading the Bible for 30 years, and I still cannot remember where things are found. I know them, but I can't remember where they're found half the time, and it's so hard for me to retain that. I know all the words to Coolio's Gangsta's Paradise, but I cannot tell you where certain scripture can be found.
Exactly. Listen, when I'm karaokeing, I don't even need to read Snoop or Shoop. Okay,
No,
I know
no.
Shoop.
With my bag of chips.
With your bag of chips, okay? You dip back to your bag of chips. And yet I cannot pull out a verse. But this is, as I grow and as I mature, and so many people have learned this lesson before I have, is that one of the real reasons is that when we are faced with fear or a situation, then we that's what the scripture is there for. Pull it out to speak it, God's word, and to put his power on it.
Amen. Speak that life and speak that truth.
Yes.
I have a great place to put scripture is on your bathroom mirror. When you're putting on your makeup,
yes,
whatever, washing your hands, whatever, just say it. Yes. Just say it and speak it and proclaim it.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, see what God does in your life, because it's pretty amazing.
It is amazing.
Is there anything more thrilling, really, than when you pray something and then it happens?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously God doesn't do this every single time, but when it is answered. And you get that chill.
I'm in awe of the way God answers things and the way God provides.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm just in awe and I can't even say anything, but wow, God, I know that was you. I know it was you.
When you need money and then all of a sudden, a random check shows up. I remember I wasn't going to a church at the time and I wanted to tithe, but I didn't know who to give my money to. And my mom said, I know a man who's been... who he's a pastor, but he doesn't belong to a church anymore. He goes to hospitals and ministers to people there. And so she goes, why don't you send that money to him? So I go, okay, give me his address. I mean, I felt totally emotionally disconnected. Like I was just kind of doing some, doing my duty to tithe.
Yeah.
When I sent it, he contacted me immediately and he said, I've been completely out of money and, I needed the exact money you put on that check.
Yeah.
So God bless you and thank you. God used you to bless me. And it was chills because that was a weird number. Yeah. And I was like, God, why? I don't remember what the number, I don't know. I was like, why 350? Because it wasn't necessarily 10%. I had this weird number in my head, 350. And when that gets answered and it's like, I needed exactly $350. It was like,
I know. Oof. I know. I have a lot of stories like that too. And it's just simply God. It's simply that man was praying for that money.
Yep.
That was an answered prayer. There is the effectiveness of fervent prayer right there.
You know, that happened to me in another situation several years ago in California where a friend of mine, I just felt that she needed $600. And that was a painful amount of money for me at the time. Like that was the kind of money that's going to hurt.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, God. And I didn't want to insult her. I remember asking people, if I just give her this check, I'm going to insult her. It's kind of like you're like, and I'm just going to give you $600. I'm like, thanks. Why?
Yeah.
You're just worried that's going to offend them even, because I didn't realize that she even needed a need. And she wasn't a believer. And so I go, honey, for some reason, I just feel like I have to give you this and I just want you to accept it and love it. And it's not my money. I don't consider it my money. So don't say you can't accept it because it's not mine to give back, and just take it and bye. And her car had broke down and it was $600 and she had some engine issue and it was $600 and she couldn't afford it.
I believe it.
And
I believe it.
That was the bill. And so when those things happen, that's the power of prayer. And if we're not listening, if we are so fearful, if we're so riddled with anxiety, if we're so untrusting and feeling out of control, then we're
sometimes so busy.
So busy.
We're so busy we cannot hear.
Then we can't hear. Exactly. We walk right on by people and needs and God talking. And we even miss God blessing us through other people. We breeze right through it. The power of prayer.
Yes, and I encourage you to get to The Power of the Praying Parent.
Yes.
She also has a Power of the Praying Wife. I have that one as well.
I've heard of it. Does she have big blonde hair?
She does. Her name is Stormy. Yeah.
Yes, Stormy. When I got married, my mom suggested that book, and I remember she just had some big bodacious blonde hair. Yes.
The book's been around for a while. I want to say, let me see, I've got it right here. It says 1995.
It's a classic, though. It is. Yeah, staple.
It is, but it is such a great, great tool to have in your toolbox of praying over your children. And the prayers in this book are for, for everything, even praying for, your children just to be joyful in the Lord and family bondage and sexual immorality, everything.
Yes.
And it talks too a little bit, a lot about we were saying earlier, even if you're praying and you're thinking, well, what's the use? God's going to do what he wants to do anyway. That's when you just kind of have to re-examine your faith and know that he is such a loving God, and he wants us to come to him with our petitions.
Yes.
He loves to answer our prayers. He loves to do that. So we have to do that.
And prove us wrong.
Yeah.
Just pray it anyway, even when it's riddled with doubt, and see what God does with that.
Yeah. Doubt's not from the Lord at all. Yeah.
Exactly. So if you're feeling doubt, just say it over and over, just like you did when you thought that you were going to get that panic attack. Just say it over and over and see what happens.
Absolutely.
The power of prayer and hot cross buns at 3 a.m.
Mm, yum.
Am I right?
Fix a plate and pray.
Fix a plate and pray. All right, Susanna. Well, I love you, and I send you off this week. Filled with God's love and peace. And I pray the same for all of you, that we just have, that you enjoy your families, that you are able to find and experience joy, no fears, no anxiety, just to really experience God's goodness and that little sliver of heaven on earth. And until next week, everybody, goodbye.
Bye. Bye.